17. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. And this will also fall into the category that we've been preaching on about the unlikely heroes in the Bible. And here is one that would most likely, had it not been for chapter 16, this young man would be considered an unlikely hero in the Word of God. And so we're going to begin reading tonight in about verse 42. Let's say verse 41. Let's start. We'll go back and we'll look at all of the chapter, but I don't want to read this whole thing tonight, but I do want to pick up in verse 41 and we'll work down a little bit and probably close to the end of the chapter anyway. So if you found your place in the Word of God, we'd ask you to stand tonight and let's honor the reading of God's holy Word. Pray the message tonight be an encouragement and strength to you. The Bible says in verse 41, and the Philistine came on. Now, all of you know that this Philistine is Goliath. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. And this is a good verse that really, I believe it's the whole, it's the central point of the entire chapter. Everything in this chapter hinges and pivots around verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Now you think about that. David's running to him. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out and of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. We'll stop right there. Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for your infallible, inerrant, holy, inspired word. God, I pray that you'd bless the reading of it tonight. God, use it, Lord, I pray, to speak to our hearts. Lord, I know you've given us a message tonight, God, and I look forward, God, to the time that I could preach. And God, I'm thankful, Lord, that the time has come. Now, God, I need you to use me, Lord, to preach this message. Father, I believe it'll be an encouragement, God, to these that are here tonight that may be facing challenges in their lives. God, I pray, let it speak words of encouragement unto them. God, I pray that it would challenge us tonight as always. Lord, I don't ever want to come into a church service where I leave the same as when I did when I came in. God, I pray, help it, Father, to feed my soul that I may grow in your grace and in your knowledge. God, I pray for someone here tonight that's not saved. God, I pray tonight, Lord, let it be the night they'll come to Jesus. God, I pray, take those that are out of the way tonight and draw them, Lord, I pray, back into your side. And God, I pray, use this message, Father, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. Every day of our lives, we run into our own giants. These giants come in different sizes, multiple types, and they always seem to show up at times that are always uninvited. And every time that we turn around, we battle giants. There are giants that are at school. There's giants that are at home. And we even battle giants in the church house. When we look at this situation, the odds look like they were stacked up against David, and things didn't look too good for him. In fact, the situation just looked mighty bad. If we'd be honest tonight, we'd have to admit that at all of us at some point in time has felt just like that. That everything just looks mighty bad and all the odds are stacked against us. There are stretches of time when we feel like that we just can't win from losing. And here David faced a huge, huge giant. And to compound matters, the giant didn't have a problem letting everybody know just how bad he was. Do you know that the problem is always bigger when you let the problem convince you about how bad it is? When you let the problem convince you just how bad it is, it always looks bigger. For 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath let folks know just how bad he was. He let the people of Israel know that I am Goliath and that I have never been defeated. Because of their fear, the Israelite army was defeated before the battle was ever fought. And many times we do the same thing. We let the giants in our life just whoop us before the battle even starts. Young and old alike have allowed their giants to defeat them by convincing them that they are powerless to stand against them. And folks, in order to be victorious, you and I must realize that greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And I know that there are times in our lives when the odds don't look too good for us. But I want you to know that you can defeat the giants in your life. And tonight I want you and I to see just how David defeated the giant that he was faced with. And I want to preach a little message simply entitled this, Finding Success in the Valley of Giants. Here was the army of the Philistines gathered on the top of one mountain. Here was the army of the Israelites gathered on the top of the other mountain. And in between those armies was a great valley. And there Goliath and David met. And folks, you and I are going to find times when we are going to be in the valleys of life. We're not always going to be on the mountaintop. We're not always going to have mountaintop experiences. We're not always going to feel like we're that close to God. There are times we're going to feel like we're in the valley. And in the valley is where you'll find your giants. In the valley is when the giants will come and face you and tell you that you cannot get out of that valley. And tell you that you cannot be successful against their opposition. But I want to tell you tonight that you can be victorious. And I want us to look tonight how we find success in the Valley of the Giants. We're going to look at David tonight and see what he did and know that we can do the same thing. Here's why David found success in the Valley of the Giants. Because number one, David was determined to succeed. You'll never succeed facing any giant. I don't care what that giant is, whether that giant is the giant of discouragement, whether that giant is the giant of depression, whether it's despair, whether it is a physical problem, whether it is an emotional problem, whether it is a financial problem, whatever the problem might be, you will never succeed against the problem until you yourself are determined to succeed. It was Jesus who was determined to succeed against the problem of sin. And the Bible said there come a time toward the end of his ministry when he was outside of Jerusalem, but knew he had to go back to Jerusalem to be crucified. And it was Isaiah who prophesied that he would set his face like a flint and head back to Jerusalem. And knowing all the time that he was going to be crucified, but he knew the problem of sin, the giant of sin, had to be defeated. And so therefore he determined within his heart to go and defeat the problem. You and I must determine in our hearts that the problem is not going to win. David was determined to succeed. And let me show you why he did this now. He succeeded despite the obstacles. He succeeded despite the obstacles. What are your obstacles tonight that's keeping you from being successful? Why don't you just determine yourself that you're going to succeed despite the obstacles that come against you? Look at the obstacles that he faced. He faced a daunting challenge in verses 4 through 7 of chapter 17. We didn't read it, but the Bible said there went out a champion. This wasn't some flunky that he brought out. This wasn't a private first class that came out of the army. This was a champion, the Bible said, out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose high was 6 cubits and a span, had a helmet of brass upon his head, was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his leg and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield, as if he didn't have enough protection already, one bearing a shield went before him. Folks, that's a daunting challenge. Now, we read that and we say, what in the world does all that mean? It means this right here. Number one, he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. That alone would have scared me to death right there, wouldn't it you? Forget the spear and the sword and everything. This guy's 9 foot 9. We think Shaq is huge, don't we? We think the guy that Yao Ming that plays for the Houston Rockets, we think that he, I remember... Sonny and I used to go down to we used to call the T.E. Waterhouse, called the Amway Center now. We used to go down to the Amway Center because we had season tickets to go watch the Orlando Magic play. And I remember when Dwight Howard came in the league and he was a rookie. And Sonny got to go down onto the court down there and meet Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard at age 18 was 6'11". And I can't remember how old Sonny was, but you remember when we got here, he's pretty tight. He was kind of a pretty small fella. He was smaller than that then. And I remember, I mean, it didn't look like the boy came to his waist. I mean, 6'11" was huge. Can you imagine 9 foot 9 inches tall? This guy can dunk a basketball by just putting it on his head and leaning forward. I mean, that's how tall this guy was. Now, not on top of that, the armor that he weighed, that coat of mail, weighed approximately 175 pounds. This guy was strong enough that he could put a vest of metal on him, which is what a coat of mail is. It's all woven together. A vest of metal, 175 pounds, was just the protection that he wore. On top of that, he carried a spear that the Bible said is like a weaver's beam that weighed 17 pounds. Any of you ever picked up a bowling ball down at the bowling alley? Most folks will bowl with them 16-pound balls. I never was very good at that. I usually go for the 12 or 13 pounders. Can you imagine taking that ball and throwing it? You know, how much does a shot put weigh? 8 pounds, is that what it is? 8 pounds. Take that and double that thing and then rear back and try to throw it and see how far you can go. And this guy could kill people with that spear. He was that strong. 17 pounds, he could lunge it and run right through the heart of someone. Not only did he have that spear that weighed 17 pounds, but the spearhead alone weighed 15 pounds. Just the head of it weighed 50. That thing was 32 pounds that he would throw and run through somebody. And on top of that, this wasn't just any ordinary soldier. Verses 5 and 6 that we read right there tells us that this guy was covered from head to toe in armor that was made of solid brass. Now, folks, you look at this guy. Folks, that's a daunting challenge. And you know what? David was still determined to succeed. What's your challenge tonight? What's your challenge that you face? Were you determined to succeed over that challenge? Not only was there a daunting challenge that was one of his obstacles, but a dire consequence was another one of his obstacles. What would happen if he didn't succeed? Verses 8 and 9 tells us, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. Now Goliath is saying this. He says, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then number one, the guy that's going to fight is going to get killed. Number two, the rest of them are going to become servants unto the Philistines. Folks, that's a dire consequence that David had to face. See, that's obstacles. David had an obstacle that he could get killed in this battle. And that all of those folks that he was fighting for all those ones that was counting on him would become servants under this pagan, ungodly nation. Folks, that's a daunting challenge. And that's a dire consequence. And then the next obstacle he faced was a dismayed commander. Verses 10 and 11. And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. His own commander didn't want to go out and fight this guy. The entire army of Israel wouldn't even go out there. They wouldn't even gang up on him. They were so scared to fight him. You would think 10 or 12 of them would jump on top of him and try to whip him, but they didn't even want to try. They were dismayed. Folks, look at the obstacles David had to face. Look at the obstacles he had to overcome if he was going to be successful. Reminds me of Jesus when he goes in Luke chapter 5 and he jumps on old Peter's boat and he says, "Cast out from the shore here." And he says, "You know, go cast your net over here." And he says, "Oh, man, we've been out here all night long. We ain't caught nothing." He says, "Oh, just cast your net over here." And he says, "All right, at your word, we'll do it." You know what he was saying? He was dismayed. He was the commander of that boat, but he didn't think there was any hope of catching any fish. He was dismayed because all night long he had fished and hadn't caught a thing. Folks, do you ever feel like you've worked and worked and worked and tried and tried and tried and tried and you just cannot overcome the obstacle and you get so dismayed by it? You know what? You got to determine to succeed. If you're going to be successful, you have got to determine in your mind first and foremost, nothing is going to stop me from being successful. Folks, he succeeded despite the obstacles. And he succeeded despite the opposition. Do you know that you're going to have opposition when you face the giants? You're going to have opposition. Look at his opposition. His agenda was questioned by his brothers. His own agenda was questioned by his brothers. Now his dad tells him, "Take now for your brethren an ephod of parched corn." You find this in verse 17. "These 10 loaves, run to the camp unto thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how they're faring and take their pledge." All right? Take the stuff to them. See how they're doing. Get the money back from it. Right? He's in essence selling them the goods. And he says, "And take their pledge." And so then while David is there, the Philistine, Goliath, comes out and begins to banter at the army of Israel and begins to squall at them again. And the Bible said in verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And word began to come out and said, the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defile Israel? He has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him a daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Well, David heard it. David heard it in verse 26. David said, "Now, what should be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" He says, "Now, what'd you say?" And the Bible said in verse 27, they answered him this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." So David is there getting all the information, and his oldest brother comes up to him, and his anger gets kindled against David, and he says, "I know why you come down here, David." He said, "I know for thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." You didn't come down here to help the soldiers. You didn't come down here to fight. You didn't come down here to give any support. You just come down to watch a bunch of guys fight. That's all you did. His agenda was questioned by his own brothers. Folks, you're going to face opposition, but you still got to determine to succeed. His agenda was questioned by his brothers. His ability was questioned by his king. The Bible says, David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" And then the Bible said that in verse 32, David said to King Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." Saul said unto David, "Here's a guy standing up. Nobody else in the army is willing to go out and fight. Here comes this one fellow that comes up, and he's still a youth," the Bible says. And he comes up, and he goes to the king, and he says, "Hey, king, don't let your heart fail because of him. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to fight him." And the king looks at him and says, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth."
His agenda was questioned,
or you can say his motive was questioned, however you want to look at it, and his ability was questioned.
You ever get in your heart that, hey, this is what God wants me to do, and somebody stands up and questions your motive behind it? Somebody stands up and questions your ability to do it. Oh, they can't do it. They can't. They ain't no way that's going to happen. Why, we've seen them try before and they failed and all these other things. And you know what? Some folks, you'll do it with a clean heart. You'll do it with pure motives. And somebody says, well, I know why they're doing that. They just want to get it, you know, and all these things. That's exactly what happened to David. It's exactly what happened to David. But you know what? He was still determined to succeed. He had made his mind up. I don't care what comes against me. I'm going to succeed. And church, we need to have a mindset just like that. I don't care what comes against me. I'm going to be successful in what I do. And he succeeded not only despite the obstacles, not only despite the opposition, but also despite the opportunities. And here's what I mean because of this. Now, in verse number 28, he got there. He was asking all the soldiers. He said, now, what's going to be done to this man if he kills the Philistines? Eliab said, oh, no, I know your heart, you old naughty guy. You're just down here to see people fight. He could have said, well, fool you on you. I don't see the rest of you fighting. I'll go back home then. He could have let. He had the opportunity to leave. In verse 33, he goes to verse 32, he tells Saul, he says, Saul, don't let your heart fail. He says, I'll go out and I'll fight the Philistines. Saul says, you can't fight this guy. He could have said, well, I don't see nobody else standing up to the plate. Fine, y'all get whipped, I'm going home. And he could have took off. He had the opportunity to leave then. Then on down in verse number 44. In verse 44, he comes out. The Philistine says to him, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He says, hey, little boy, get over here. He says, I'm going to feed you to the birds. Could have scared him to death and he could have left. You know what? He had the opportunity to run as fast as he could get out of there then. But you know what? He stayed. He succeeded despite his opportunities. His opportunities to leave. You want to know why? Because he was determined to succeed. And it doesn't matter. The devil will give you opportunities where he'll provide this manner for you to run, hightail it out. And a lot of folks do. They see it's going to take effort. They see it's going to take commitment. They see it's going to take sacrifice. They see it's going to take up their time. They see it's going to take some money. They see it's going to take this or that. And you know what? They hightail it the other way. They're not determined to succeed. But David was determined, regardless of anything, I'm going to whip this guy. Let me tell you something, church. We need people to rise up and say in their mind, I don't care what comes against me. I'm going to stand up and succeed. I don't care who's going to serve God or not. All I know is I'm getting to heaven one day. And there ain't nobody going to stop me neither. And you know what? I don't care who walks around down in the mouth and beat up all the time. I'm not going to walk around and get beat up by this world and go around on my pity party day in, day out. Let me tell you something. I'm going to succeed. You know what? We're going to face giants. We might as well get used to it. But I tell you what, instead of letting the giants run over us, why don't we run over some of the giants? He was determined to succeed. Now, secondly, David was developed to succeed. He not only was determined to succeed, but he was developed or prepared or trained, however you want to say it, to succeed. Now, go with me right here and look at this. In verses 34 through 40 is where we're going to find this. The first thing we see was that David, in going to fight against this giant, was basing his success on what he had remembered. He's basing his success against this giant, which hasn't happened yet, by the way. But he's saying all along, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight him. I'm going to whip him. Here's this little old kid. You can see this little old kid coming out there. Maybe 16, 17-year-old. Here's this 9-foot-9-inch guy carrying 175 pounds of armor just on his chest. You know, 32-pound spear he's going to throw at you. And on top of that, it's got a guy in front of him holding a shield. I mean, you see this guy. And here's this kid coming to him saying, see that guy over there? I'm going to whip him. Now, why in the world would he say that? I mean, why would he say that? Because he was basing his success on what he remembered. The Bible says this.
David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep. There came a lion, a bear, took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him, smote him, delivered him out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, smote him, slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. He says, I remembered what happened the last time, and you know what? I can do it again this time. He was basing his success on what he remembered. Think back. What's God got you through? Think back. What has God got you? The worst thing you've ever faced in this life, but yet here you sit. What's the worst thing you've ever faced in this life? Maybe you're in the middle of it right now. But what's the very worst thing you've ever faced in life, but yet here you sit, still going for God? See? Why? Why? Because you know you're going to be successful. Because you can remember what God's already done for you. And that's what David was basing his success on. He was basing it on what he remembered. And secondly, he was basing his success on whom he was relying on. David was not relying on himself. 9'9" against pipsqueak. Odds don't look good. Shepherd boy against champion warrior. Odds don't look good. And David wasn't out there flexing and saying, hey, Goliath, get a load of this. Son, I'll lay one on you. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't bragging on anything himself. He wasn't sitting out there going, hey, Goliath, man, check this out right here. You don't want none of this, son. He wasn't doing that. He said this right here in verse 37. He said, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw. He said, I know how I got out of the lion's paw. He said, I know how I got out of the bear's paw. I didn't get out of their paw because I was strong. I didn't get out of their paws because I knew what I was doing. I didn't get out of their paws because anything else. He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Let me tell you something. He was going on what he remembered, and he was basing his success on the one he relied on. What are you basing your success on? Is it your ability? Is it the way you try to figure things out? Is it if you can get all the pieces together? Or do you know that the only reason you're sitting here tonight is because God got you out of the hand of the lion? Or because God got you out of the paw of the bear? See, the only reason you're here tonight and you're not dead and in hell is because God got you out of it. The only reason you're successful in anything you've done in this life, you know what? In Him we live and move and have a very being. The only reason we have health tonight is because God give us health. The only reason you and I have wealth tonight is because don't you know that it is God that giveth thee the power to obtain wealth. And by the way, if we don't rob God in our tithes and offerings, He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Let me tell you something, it's because God got you out of it tonight. See, David was developed to succeed. He based his success on what he'd remembered. He based his success on whom he was relying on. And he based his success on what he had received. Now, here's what I mean by this. Verse 38. Saul, then, after David said, hey, you know what, Saul? Yeah, you don't think I can whip this guy, but let me tell you something. The old lion came after me. I slew him. And the old bear came after me and I slew him. And it was God that got me out of his paw, the lion. It was God that got me out of the paw, the bear. And it's God that's going to be the one that's going to have me to slay this Philistine. Saul said, all right, here's my armor. And loads him down in armor. And the Bible says this right here now. The Bible says that Saul armed David with his armor, put a helmet of brass upon his head, armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor and attempted to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put him off him. Now, he was basing his success on what he had received. Here's what I mean by that. David was not trained to fight with armor. David was not trained to fight with a sword. To put all of that heavy load, which by the way, King Saul, the Bible says, was head and shoulders taller than anybody else in Israel.
That probably puts him in the high 6 foot range, maybe 7 foot tall. I mean, he's a big guy. Here's the pipsqueak shepherd boy now, getting loaded down with all this armor and got this sword hanging on his hip, and you can see him dragging it behind him, leaving marks in the sand. And you know what? It weighs so much on him. He's going out there and he's probably bogged down and he's probably tipping from one side to the next. He would have been mincemeat with Goliath had he to went out there and tried to fight that giant with that armor all over him. He didn't know how to use it. He couldn't even hardly move in it. He said, I improved this stuff. I don't even know how to function in this stuff. He said, but I do know one thing. He says, I know how to use something else. He says, now let me get rid of all this stuff that I don't know how to do. See, if you're going to succeed, you can't be labeled down. You can't be weighted down with all the things you don't know about. You can't be weighted down trying to do things you don't know how to do. See, a lot of people, the reason they fail is they get involved in things they don't know how to succeed at. You want to know why a lot of things fail in life? You want to know why a lot of things fall apart? It's because the people never knew how to make it succeed before they got involved. And David said, hey, I don't know how to do this. He said, but I do know how to do this. He said, I know how to use a sling. And so he goes down the brook and he says, give me 5 stones. He gets 5 smooth stones and says, I don't know how to use sword, don't know how to use armor, don't know how to do anything. He said, but I know one thing I can do. He said, I can throw these rocks. He was basing his success on the knowledge he had received. There's a lot of things I wouldn't try in this world because I don't have any knowledge on how to do them. I wouldn't go down tomorrow and set up shop beside a Brother Brady and try to sell insurance and be a competitor. I'd be a bankrupt in a month because I don't know the first thing about doing it. I wouldn't go and set up shop beside Brother Ward here and try to make cabinets because you wouldn't want them. you would not want them. I'd be out of business fast. Because I don't have any knowledge, and there's so many people that's involved in so many things they ought not be involved in, they fail because they never had knowledge. That's why the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, David based his success on what he'd received. He said, I'm not going to whip him with a sword. That's not how I'm going to whip him. I'm not going to whip him with armor plates. I'm not going to whip him on anything. He said, I'll tell you how I will whip him. He said, I'll take his stone, and he said, I'll knock him upside his head with it. And that's exactly what he did. Now, David was developed to succeed. David was determined to succeed. Now, lastly and finally, here's a real easy one. David was destined to succeed. You say, really? Really? David couldn't lose. You say, how do you know that? Chapter 16. Go back with me. The Bible says old Samuel the prophet is mourning. God had taken the anointing off of Saul. Samuel liked Saul. Saul misbehaved a lot. Saul disobeyed God, and God got tired of Saul. God took his anointing off his life. And so Samuel is mourning because God's not for Saul anymore. God shows up on Samuel's side and says, how long are you going to sit around and cry? Pretty much what he said. Sometimes God has to do that to us, don't he? How long are you going to sit around and moan over this stuff? You know? And he says, how long are you going to mourn? He said, I've rejected him from reigning over Israel. And he says, go, fill your horn with oil, go to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons. Now, he goes on down there. He gets into town, and the elders are looking at him, saying, are you come peaceably or not? He says, yes, I'm coming peaceably. And so he goes to Jesse, and he says, Jesse, he says, give me all your sons. It came to pass in verse 6 that when they come, he looked on Eliab. That's the one that chided David for even being at the battle. He looks at Eliab, and he says, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Jesse called Abinadab, made him to pass before Samuel. The Lord said, nope. Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and the Lord said, nope.
And again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, nope, none of them. And he says, Jesse, you got any more boys left? And Jesse says, yeah, I got one more boy. He says, there's one more. He's the youngest of the bunch, and he's out keeping sheep. Samuel says, go get him. Bring him here. Gets him, brings him here. When he comes in, they brought him. The Bible says in verse 12, he was ruddy. That means he was red. Skin was red. Hair was red. Here he is. Red-haired, freckled boy. And of a beautiful countenance. He's a good-looking boy, though. All the girls would have liked him. And the Lord said to Jesse, it says, and goodly to look to. How you like that? Then the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. God said, Jesse, go down and get you a king. I've got you one down there among Jesse's boys. Right after he anointed him king, he goes and he faces Goliath. David has yet to be crowned king. He couldn't lose. Because God said he's going to be king. He hadn't got to be king yet. They could have sent everybody in that army after him to kill him. And God would have whooped them all. And said, you ain't going to touch him because he's going to be king. He was destined to succeed. Can I tell you something tonight? You are destined to succeed. Because the Bible said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not sitting here tonight destined to have to fall by the wayside of your giants. You're not destined to let desperation and despair and discouragement and depression whoop you down. You're not destined tonight to allow the hurts and the pains and the sorrows of this world to wear you out. You're not destined for, if you're in that tonight, it's because you've not determined to succeed. Because God's already destined for you to be a victor. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'm glad you don't, because I'm going to prove you wrong. Look in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Well, I've always told you I'll never give you nothing that ain't in the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. And I'll close with this. Here's how you know you're destined to succeed right here. Here's it right here. Now, mind you, you can't be involved in things you don't know nothing about. But if you're involved in things that God has given you knowledge and ability of, you can succeed in them. Verse 4. 1 John 5. For whatsoever is born of God. How many of you are born again of God tonight? Let me see your hands. Every one of you. Should be anyway. For whatsoever is born of God, what does he do? And this is the victory. Here it is right here. Preacher, how do I have victory? How do I know I'm destined to succeed? And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What's the victory? Faith. Even our faith. If you have faith to succeed, you can succeed. See, folks, you are destined to succeed tonight. God's already destined for you to succeed. But God doesn't make it happen until you exercise your faith and determine to succeed. David had every opportunity to turn around and go home. He had every opportunity in the world to say, I quit. Nobody wants me to do it anyway. Everybody's come against me. And this old guy, look at him, how big and gruesome he is. I quit. But he didn't. He was determined. Because he knew he was destined. He wasn't going to lose. Because he still had a kingdom to rule over. And I tell you, church, we are not going to lose. Because there's still a kingdom we're going to rule over one day. Don't you know the saints of God are going to be ruling kingdoms, the Bible says? Don't you know the saints of God are even going to be ruling angels? Glory to God. Let me tell you something right now. We are going to win. I want to be successful, don't you? But I wonder tonight if there's someone here. You've allowed the desperation of this life. You've allowed the things of this world to absolutely crush your determination. It's crushed your spirit. You're not determined anymore to succeed. You've just thrown your hands up at the whole situation and said, there's nothing I can do. I'm just licked. I'm just whooped. It's over. It's finished. I'm done for. But you know what? God give you a word tonight. He says you can be a winner. You can be a winner tonight. And you say, can I? Yeah. Remember what He used to do for you? Remember what He used to do for you? And remember who He is? He hadn't changed. He hadn't changed. He's still the same. And He'll do it again. Think about the very worst thing you've ever faced in life. And yet here you are tonight, still here. That's victory, folks. Whether you realize it or not, that's victory. Whether you're still sitting here with it draped all over you, it's still victory tonight. You're still here. You're still worshiping God. You're still counting on Him. You're still relying on His grace and mercy. That's victory tonight. And you can overcome because of your faith. But you know, tonight, there may be someone here. You're down and out. You've been whooped. But you know what? I want you to know tonight, you can come to God. And you can be determined you're going to succeed tonight. And say, God, I'm going to come to this altar tonight. And I'm going to lay all of this stuff down at your feet. I realize, God, if I'm going to get out of the paw of the lion, if I'm going to get out of the paw of the bear, and if I'm going to whoop this big giant, it's because you're going to be the one that does it. And I know you've done it in the past, God. There ain't no reason why you can't do it now. And God, I'm going to come tonight, and I'm going to be determined. From this day forward, I will succeed. Would you stand tonight?